Yeah, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to special edition of Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and it's 4 minutes past the hour of six. It's the 6th of January, 2026. We are moving. Particularly when it comes to the beginning of the year. And it's a year which a lot of people have started it with hope, good ambition, and some of you are still writing your new year resolution to say this is what you need to do, this is what is expected from you, and this is what you would like to achieve, and also some of the things that you would like to change, because at the end of the day there are things that we must look at ourselves and look at what we call self-accountability to say, before I start complaining about what the government is not doing well, before I start blaming other people, before I start blaming the international community, what is that I do to make sure that I hold myself accountable? I was reading somewhere, and there is an aspect of victim mentality, and it's a simple definition is saying it's a psychological state where individuals perceive themselves as perpetual victim of circumstances, of blaming others for their misfortune, and feeling powerless to change their situation. Because there is one thing that, especially when you are at the beginning of the year, there is one thing that we really need to look at. Because if, and I'm giving you this free advice to say, if you find yourself in a situation that is only you who is a victim every time, people do not like you, people do not love you, and your partner is always, you know, doing something wrong to you, the community is somewhere else, not in line with what you want, it could be that you are also failing to man up, or you are also failing to play a role in your life, because you are the only driver, you are the only one who is holding that steering wheel, and who is indicating to say, now I have to put gear 1 or gear 2 or gear 3. But the victim mentality, especially at the beginning of the year, let us also try to make sure that without us holding ourselves accountable, we will never get the way we want to get. Because if we look at that, the same way we do not want our policymakers to hide in some apartheid policies, the same way we do not want economic movers to blame colonialism of what have happened over the past 35 years, in the same way we should also look at ourselves, because it's now a high time to say, okay, after independence, 35 years after independence, what is that that we have done within our power, instead of just saying colonialism, because we find ourselves 100 years of independence and we are not doing what is supposed to be done. So it's quite very important, particularly at the beginning of the year, to look at ourselves too, to say, even though there are also external forces that can affect the way we do things in our lives, sometimes there are also things that we tolerate, and there are also actions that we do not take. That is why it's quite crucial, especially when you're at the beginning of the year, to say, are you still going to be a victim at the beginning? Are you still going to be a victim in 2026, or you are going to be a master of your own destiny? You are going to champion that vision that you have. So, we are greeting you. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station. And this is a special edition of Early Morning Scoop that starts from the hour 6 until 7:30. And from Monday there, we'll continue with our usual program from 6 until 8 o'clock. And let us look at what is happening, particularly when it comes to economic affairs, when it comes to issues of development, and also issues which affect our bread and butter. And maybe before we go to that, you must also ask yourself to say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do within this week? What are you going to do within this month? And to the farmers, especially those who are, you know, motivated by the need to be self-sustaining in terms of food production, they have already started working. Some of them, they go in the field around five there. Some of them, you know, they already start pushing. And let us also advise each other. And let us also share, especially when it comes to seeds, when it's coming to new technique on farming, especially when you are at the beginning of the year, to say if you have a new technology on farming, give to others or advise others. Let us share the quality of seeds that we have, so that at the end of the day, it's not only you who's going to have a better yield, but the whole Namibia, so that we cannot afford to be hungry. We cannot afford to be continue fed by other nations. And remember that there is a saying to say that all who feed you has power to control you. That all who is controlling your food security has power also to control you. That's why when you are self-sustaining, it's easier to look at other things. When we are not hungry, it's easier also to make decisions, and it's easier for us to develop our country. Now, there is quite a lot of things which is happening at the global platform. It's quite a lot which is happening at the global platform. And let us start with, the U.S., the United States of America has been trading these days, and to say the U.S. has, the U.S. expand 15,000 visa bond rule to more than, it has ended seven countries. It has ended seven countries, including five in Africa, to the list of nations whose passport holders are required to post a bond of up to $15,000 when you are applying to enter United States of America. You must be able to understand that from last year, when President Donald Trump came to power, there have been a lot of changes, particularly when it's coming to those executive orders that he has signed, and also looking at the reform of the U.S. economy, and also the way it's conduct itself in an international platform. But in this regard, when it's coming to visa, he stated that the United States of America, or the Trump administration, has ended seven countries. And recent carefully, we are also part of those countries, especially when you are applying to enter United States of America. And he stated that the bond is up to $15,000. And in simple term, when you speak about visa bond, it's like money that you put out there, and to guarantee that you are going to meet all the requirements. But it's going to be refunded to you if you are denied entry to the United States of America. It's almost working the same way as bail, but this one is at a different platform, that is money that you are putting there, and that is showing that you meet all the requirements, and to that extent, that after that, you'll be able to be accepted to enter United States of America. And in this regard, it is stated because they are tightening their laws, especially when it's coming to entry. And stated that the State Department last week quietly ended countries such as Bhutan, Botswana, Central Africa Republic, Guinea, and Guinea-Bissau, because there are two Guinea. We have Guinea-Conakry and Guinea-Bissau. Both Guineas are added there. And yours truly, Namibia. Namibia is also part of the list, and also Turkmenistan, yeah. It's a country in the Middle East there. And it's also one of those countries which are ended to that new visa board that is up to 15,000. It's between 5,000 and $15,000. And in this regard, United States of America officials have defended their bonds, which carry a range of 5,000 to up to $15,000. And what is also very interesting is that these new ways of doing things, especially when you want to enter United States of America. There is also, you know, some of the ended requirements, which is including requiring citizens from all countries that require visa to sit for in-person interview. You know, when you are going to United States of America, either you are going to study, either you are going for a business visit, either you are going just to visit your friend, or looking for opportunity, because U.S. has been known as land of opportunities, the free world.
Die koop en verkoop van kominale grond. Aandag inwoners van Namibië se kominale gebiede. Hierdie is 'n belangrike aankondiging deur die Ministerie van Landbou, Visserye, Water en Grondhervorming. Luister asseblief aandagtig en deel hierdie boodskap met die familielede, bure en vriende. Stop die praktyk van die koop of verkoop van kominale grond. Hoekom? Omdat kominale grond in 'n Namibië staatsgrond is en onder geen omstandighede verkoop mag word nie. Enige betrokke transaksies in verband met die koop of verkoop van sodanige grond is onwettig. Sulke aktiwiteite word ten strengste deur die Wet op Kominale Grondhervorming, Wet nommer 5 van 2002 verbied. Gevolge van onwettige grondtransaksies, regstraf, oortreders kan boetes en gevangenisstraf opgelê word, ontwrigting van gemeenskapsharmonie. Die koop of verkoop van kominale grond kan tot grondgeskille en spanning binne ons gemeenskappe lei. Wat u moet weet, is dat kominale grond behoort aan ons almal. Dit is 'n gedeelde hulpbron wat vir almal tot voordeel moet wees. Bewaar ons erfenis. Deur kominale grond te respekteer, eer ons ons kulturele nalatenskap en beskerm ons ons omgewing. Rapporteer onwettige aktiwiteite. Indien u enige vermoede van onwettige grondtransaksies het, word u vriendelik versoek om dit aan die tradisionele owerheid, die kominale grondraad of die naaste kantoor van die ministerie te rapporteer. Kom ons werk saam aan die bewaring van ons gemeenskaplike grondhulpbronne ten bate van toekomstige geslagte. Die ministerie aanvaar geen aanspreeklikheid vir enige verlies van grondhulpbronne wat mag voortvloei uit die onwettige koop of verkoop van gemeenskapsgrond nie. Onthou, kominale grond is kosbaar. Kom ons hou dit veilig en verseker vir almal. Dankie vir die samewerking. Hierdie radioboodskap is met finansiële ondersteuning van die regering van die Republiek van Namibië en die Federale Republiek van Duitsland deur die Duitse Ontwikkelingsbank KfW vervaardig. Vir verdere inligting, kontak asseblief die naaste kantoor van die ministerie of die kantoor vir openbare betrekkinge van die ministerie van landbou, visserye, water en grondhervorming by die volgende telefoonnommer 061-208-7604.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Scandal.
Yeah, we are continuing with a special edition of Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are looking at the U.S. visa. And understand that when you want to enter the free world, the United States of America, especially this point in time, you have to understand that you have to sit for in-person interview. Especially if you want to get a visa, to sit for in-person interview. And the board is now elevated up to $15,000 US dollars. Especially if you are coming from countries such as Namibia and other, countries which are listed. You speak about Guinea-Conakry, Guinea-Bissau, and Botswana, Central Africa Republic, and many other countries. And this effect, or the effect of this requirement started on the 1st of January. And it's quite interesting to look at what is happening. And apart from in-person interview, You also need to disclose years of your social media history, as well as detailed accounts of their families, their previous travel, and also a living arrangement. And it seems like there's a lot of restrictions out there. And for those of you who are not managing their social media properly, I do not know now if it's when you express an opinion about the United States of America, or if you have a strong view against the administration of the United States of America, if this is going to be the requirement for the next 3 years of Trump administration, or it's going to be standing rules, or they are bound to change in the next administration. And these are some of the things that you need to look at. And also the question of asking to say, what is the principle of reciprocal or reciprocity also apply, especially when it coming to visa? The principle of reciprocity or reciprocal apply, because in international relations, what is happening, whatever you do to me, I do to you. And there are no strong feelings, or there are no hard feelings about it, because it's international affairs. Those are standing rules which are governing international affairs, to say, if you are lenient to me, I can also be lenient to you. If you are giving me low tariffs, I can also do the same, because there is also what we call the principle of mutual relations. And is this also what Namibia is going to do? And remember, there is always a case of migration. It's always a case of migration. It's not only the United States of America which is dealing with migration, especially illegal immigrants. It's also the UK. It's also, you also have internal migration, because people are moving away from their countries of origin. And especially when you look at African citizens. And we must be very clear also to say, as we have mentioned this morning, to say the principle of victimization, or the principle of victim mentality. Also to say, why are we targeted? We must also ask ourselves to say, what is that that we are not doing good? Because out of all principles, we must also learn something from United States of America, to say, why are they doing what they are doing? Could it be that there are also things that us African countries do not do well, and we want to run away from our own problems? Why can't we deal with our own challenges at home, so that we can also have a point to say at an international platform, where a lot of people will run to Namibia to look for citizenship, to look for opportunities to come to study at our universities, and also to be part of our industries? Because if we are always crying to say, no, they are closing their doors to us, what are you doing internal? What is the problem at home? That is why part of the conversation for today, especially when we are going to be in the conversation with the guest, who is an economic researcher, we are going to look at how we can distribute national resource equitably in Namibia, especially in the context where International Monetary Fund and international institutions continue to predict positive prediction about the African economy, to say the African economy will expand. In some countries, the prediction also got to 7% economic expansion. And the question will always be to say, what does it mean to an ordinary person, and what can we do differently that can be allowing us to distribute resource fairly to those who are in need? Because if the economy of DRC is expanding based on cobalt demand in an international market, if the economy of Zimbabwe is expanding based on the sale of platinum, if Zambia economy is expanding based on copper demand in the international market, what is an ordinary Zambian going to benefit if Namibia, known to be the third highest producer of uranium, if the economy continue to expand based on that, how is this going to be equally distributed? And also the other thing that we are going to look at is also part of how do you mitigate, how do you deal with factors or risks that are preventing equal national resource distribution? And that will be part of the conversation, particularly from the hour of 7 there, where I'm going to be in conversation with Epaphras Jonas, who is an economic researcher. Yeah, apart from the US visa, the other thing which is happening is also the case of the president of I don't know if you have to say the president of Venezuela or the former president of Venezuela. Maybe it's the right time to say the former president of Venezuela, because they have already sworn in the acting president. And looking at the situation in the United States of America, I'll be able to realize that yesterday, Nicolas Maduro, the long-term leader of Venezuela, has arrived in New York courthouse, and he arrived in chain, and also in under heavy or surrounded by heavy armed U.S. law enforcement just a few days after he was captured from his home country, that is Venezuela, by the U.S. law enforcement. It's quite a historic, event, and international nightmare, actually, especially looking at what is happening at an international platform. Be able to see that yesterday, those of you who were on TV, the 63-year-old president, Nicolas Maduro, who was captured on Saturday, arrived, and there is a 25-page charge sheet that is including, fueling thousands of tons of cocaine, working with drug cartels, weapon smuggling, and many other charges. And his wife too has also appeared in court in United States of America. And what Nicolas Maduro has indicated, he pleaded not guilty. He pleaded not guilty of all the charges presented to him, and analysts are indicating that there is a possibility of life imprisonment, looking at the gravity of the case, and also not less than 20 years imprisonment. But this is analyst prediction, and must also be able to see that across United States of America, even yesterday, those of you who were on TV, be able also to see, and also look at protesters who are condemning the works of the administration of Trump, and some of the chants there is no boots on the ground, no bombs in the air, U.S. out of everywhere. And be able to realize that even though things are happening in the United States of America, you also have citizens too who are protesting, over such actions. You also have citizens who are protesting over such actions, who are not happy of United States of America and how it has done its work, particularly capturing a president, a sitting president, from his residence. And I saw a question yesterday. I was speaking to analysts and speaking to Rick Simasiku, a lecturer of international politics at the University of Namibia. And one of the things that he stated is that, or what impression that he gave in his analysis is to say there is no enemy outside that can defeat you if you do not have an enemy within. To say, how come a powerful, although not too powerful, nation with your security agencies, with your military, and your president is just airlifted or just captured like that? And at least it could have taken some weeks, even a month, before you are captured. But it's also show that, you know, sometimes people who are surrounding you can also be infiltrated. That's why one of the analysts and of international politics indicated to say countries with natural resources must be, or the natural resources must be heavily defended. There must be mechanism to defend natural resources, because in the current geopolitics, countries are prioritizing their strategic interest over international laws. Countries are prioritizing their strategic interest, because if you look carefully, if you look carefully, and you look at international laws from an independent point of view, you'll be able to understand that it's not right. It has been condemned, even from the principles of fighting against apartheid, to say there is no other country which can invade another country, a sovereign country. And looking at now, the members of United Nations Security Council, you have Russia, you have United States of America, you have Britain, you have France. And what is also very interesting is now you have two case studies now. You have a case study of Ukraine, and you also have a case study of Venezuela. And one would argue, and if you are in on the side of protection international law, you cannot be happy with Russia invasion of Ukraine, and you can also not be happy with Venezuela being not to say attacked, but the president being captured from his own sitting throne in his own country. And if you put two case study in perspective, you'll be able to understand, and be able to understand that it's not only about allies, it's also about principles, to say if you are following this law of international law where a weaker nation should be protected from an aggressor or a powerful nation, then laws must be applied across the board. And we are seeing you know, views and perspectives from all corners of the world. And I also asking yourself to say, if you want to ask a provocative question, to say, when we defend Venezuela, which is the right course actually, can we also do it to other nations, even if they are not our allies? Because what need to be defended is principles. If our foreign policies is promoting independent, promoting self or independence of countries, and countries to stand on their own, and solving of international disputes by diplomatic means, which means that we are against, you know, using of force. It must be applied across the board. And this is exactly what we should stand on moving forward. So, while we are there, it's quite a new case. It's quite a new case, and those who study international relations and international law, that is your case study to look into. That is your case study to look into, and try to use point of analysis on what need to be done moving forward. It did not only happen in Venezuela, it also happened in Libya, it also happened in Iraq, and it's also happened in many other countries. And also to look at new perspective to say which one is a worst case study, and can we condemn such action by all means. But it's a question of international relations. It's a question of asking also to say, do we have stronger international or multilateral institutions such as the United Nations? Because it's a testing time. United Nations has been tested. And for those who, or majority of states who have called for reform of United Nations, who will champion the reforms of United Nations, and what is the strength of United Nations means to developing nations? Because remember, if you have strong United Nations, it means that developing nations with resources, they are going to be protected. It means that terrorism is going to be dealt with. It means that illegal smuggling of weapons is going to be dealt with. It means that poaching will also be reduced, because that is the center of global governance. But if you have weaker United Nations with just giving statements and condemning, and also the international institution which is just condemning, giving statements, and also without self-sustaining funding model, then we should not expect new changes. But what is also interesting is that people should not lose hope moving forward, because with what happened in Venezuela, a lot of people, it brought a lot of fear, not only among ordinary people, but also among state. You are seeing it because U.S. is positioning itself as a military mighty. It's positioning itself as a military mighty. And it's also positioning itself as that the big boys of international politics. And that is, you can sense it. You can sense it, because if you are reading between the lines how people responded to such situation. But yeah, let's move forward. Let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at a little bit of what happened in Namibia, especially in the current events which are happening in Namibia. Then we'll look at our guest that will come through from the hour of 7 o'clock there, when we are going to speak about the positive side of 2026, especially good prediction of International Monetary Fund, and also to see how can we make sure that what is going to be a positive year will also reflect on an ordinary person, because the growth of a country should be felt by every individual, particularly those who are at the edge of economic benefits. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can move forward. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 83-288-401, so that you can give your opinion, you can ask your question, and you can exercise your democratic rights and the freedom of expression. And let's stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 7:30.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili meholamo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana unongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu Honda doinawa nuneudo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi finawa nukumona oijamo ilinawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Yeah, we are moving forward with special edition of Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And looking inside the country, we see that majority of people are returning back to work. Majority of people are returning back to work, and there are quite incidents which have been happening within the country, particularly the unfortunate and barbaric actions which have happened during the weekend. And it was stated that yesterday the 59 years old Sinkus Johannes has appeared in a court in Ndangwa there, especially regarding the incident which happened after shooting and killing one of the traditional leaders within Ndonga Traditional Authority, and also Ijad, one of the traditional leaders, and also who happened to be the ED of National Planning Commission, that is Mr. Ibn Nashandi. And it was stated that the case was postponed to the 18th of June 2026, and the prosecutor has opposed bail, and we have seen citizens coming and showing up, coming and also showing up at court, and we are seeing, and it has been a trend, especially the northern part of Namibia, when citizens are showing up at court and showing their unhappiness, because to say when a law is not in favor of the citizen, then it's not a good law. That's why you'll be able to see citizens showing up and also showing their unhappiness about the action which have happened. And it's quite also bringing fear especially not only to traditional leaders, but it's also bringing fear to also those who are custodian of Namibia judicial system, to say, if you are a democratic nation and we are guided by the rule of law, why do we have to downgrade ourselves to violence? Because Namibia has not been like this. Namibia has not been like this because prosecutors and magistrates have been free, unlike other countries where they are guarded. Are we now turning to South Africa? Are we now turning to South Africa that even local councillors have bodyguards, which is going to make our work easier? But I think moving into 2026, it's also a year of looking at that aspect and also looking at better ways on dealing with conflicts. Because if you appear in a court, it's because your impression is that you have respect of the outcome of whatever happened by whatever happened when the magistrate or the traditional leader presiding over your case. But if you go to a court with expected outcome, then why do you have to attend that court? Because it's about justice and it's also about dealing with your case. But that is what have been happening. That is what have been happening. But while we are there, let us look at what we'll be able to discuss today, especially when you are looking at the position of Africa. To say Africa have never been lacking in terms of mineral resources, and not only mineral resources, any other resources that play a major role in global market, most of them are coming from Africa. We hold more than 30% of global minerals. And there is always a positive outlook. There's always a positive economic outlook when it comes to Africa. Economic expansion, economic growth, investors, international investors coming to Africa. Although we really have not quite a very good reputation with international institutions, especially when it comes to the way they've been dealing with us when it's coming to debts, loans, and developmental grants that they've been giving us, that although some have worked and helped people, took people out of poverty, millions of people were taken out of poverty, there are also concerns about, the sustainability of these relationships. That's why when you look at any platform, current as we are speaking, leaders, they are speaking about the reform of international financial architecture and also fair and equal treatment of Africa when it comes to loans, grants, interest, and international developmental projects. Now, there's a prediction to say is Africa is expecting a high growth in terms of its economy. And IMF forecast reveals that the continent will be home to more high growth economies, that is up to 7%. And any other years, then this is indicated. The countries you speak about, South Sudan, these are countries which have been also prone to war, conflict, hunger. And I'm always indicating to say there was a time where the UN Secretary General said, no, the case of Sudan and South Sudan is worst humanitarian crisis ever happened. Especially the victims of war, the victim of conflict who suffered of hunger, people dying of hunger. And even though the situation is like that, there is still positive outlook to say countries such as South Sudan, Guinea, each projected double-digit growth. Then we speak about oil and mining booming. And not only South Sudan, you also speak about Uganda, speak about Rwanda, also speak about Ethiopia. They say Ethiopia, although Ethiopia have been struggling with its debts recovery, it's also a predicted average growth of 7%. However, based on that factor, based on that effect, risks are still standing that making it very difficult also for African countries to enjoy the benefit of their economic expansion. To say, if your economy is expanding, how much of the debts do you owe the external world? That is one thing. If your economy is expanding, how much of the debts that you owe the external world? Because if in 2026 Africa will pay almost $100 billion US dollars to creditors, is this economic expansion really going to translate to an ordinary a person? And it's a question that we've been asking also, particularly when BON give prediction, when you have a domestic economic outlook, you say, no, Namibian economy is going to expand with 3%, especially when you look at last year. The question is always to say, after we clap our hands to say, no, Namibia, we are doing very well, we are expanding. The question is, say, even if we are expanding at an international platform, we are downgraded. At a local level, human development is still a concern. How is this going to be translated? That is why today we will definitely talk on the aspect of resource distribution, equitable resource distribution, because, you know, inequality is quite a challenging situation. It's like you are all in a family, like in an extended family, but at the kitchen, people are brying meat, or they are frying chicken there, but there are also those who are just smelling the food. There are also those who are just eating the bones, and there are those who are eating the larger portion of that. And that is how the economy inequality looks like. And put it into this scenario to say, no matter how many chicken come into that house, how many portion of meat come into that house, even if you increase the portion of meat coming into that house, people continue to buy. People continue to fly those meat, but it's only the minority of those people are going to benefit. How can we make sure that when it's coming to economic growth, when it's coming to the numbers of Namibian economy, for example, or numbers of money, when it's coming to Namibian economic expansion, when it's coming to infrastructure expansion, how many of this expansion translate to the benefits of ordinary people? Because resources are not lacking. Money is here. The money is already here. Is the money being distributed equally? We are not saying people should be given money. That is not what we are saying. We are speaking about a long-term sustainable strategy on how ordinary people should benefit from the economic expansion. Because otherwise, we'll just be like those who can just smell, those who eat bones, and those who fly and eat that portion. No matter the numbers of boxes of meat coming into that extended family, it's only the few who will benefit, while the majority will not benefit. And looking at the economy itself, we don't need to be sophisticated. We don't need to complicate things. We just need to look at it the same way we look at family as the basic foundation of the society, how the resources are being distributed out there. What does it mean when there is equal distribution of resources? Because if you give everybody, or if you give equal portion to children, equal portion to adults, then those adults and children who also grow up and expand, or and work to the best of their abilities to make sure that they also bring back those or bring back resources at home, and also build the family to that extent that you stand out. The same way with countries, and it also coming to the same way also with an individual, because sometimes we think the nation is such a complicated thing. It's you, an individual, that what is that that we are thinking? What is that that we are feeding our mind with? What is that motivate us? What is that that can push us to wake up early in the morning? And what is that that we do that we are very proud of also? Because one thing about victim mentality is that if we always have a victim mentality, then we will never develop this country, because we always end up blaming. That's why I say there is one leader who I respect so much, especially what have happened last year. And this few of them that you can find. If you want to test the character of a leader, look at the difficult situation. And I like saying this because there was a point the last year where, may their soul rest in peace, when the some of the senior correctional officers lost their lives in a car accident. And the head of Namibia Correctional Service stood up and said, I'm ready to take up that blame. He said that. He did not say, no, the driver did what. He said, I'm ready to take up that blame. And as few of the leaders that we have can say, it's my mistake, I'm going to redo. Or this policy have failed you, we are going to relook at it. But just say, no, we did our best, that thing will not take us anywhere. But somebody will stand up and say, I have seen that report, and I'm ready to take up the blame. And we are not perfect human beings. But if you are just telling people that you have developed, you have advanced, and people are not seeing it, why are we doing like that? So it's better for us to admit that we are not a victim. We are also contributor to the problem, even as ordinary people. Even me as a young person, we are also contributors to the problem, but we must be able to find a way on how we can change and remove Namibia from this not so good list of being the highest unequal country in terms of the economy, especially being the second highest, even in 2026. And that's why today, that is exactly what we are going to look at. And before we go that, we are going to look at the short commercial break. Then we'll be able to engage our guest, who is coming from the field of economic research, particularly from mining and also industries such as oil, and to look at what he has for us. So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 7:30.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere, countrywide, to broadcast live.
Yeah, we are moving forward with a special edition of Early Morning Scoop. And as I indicated today, we'll be joined by an economic researcher that is Epaphras Jonas, especially when you're going to speak about African economic expansion and also what need to be done to make sure that resources are equally distributed. Epaphras Jonas, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, Mr. David. And good morning to all Namibians.
Let's look at IMF prediction, because we have been receiving a lot of prediction about positive economic outlook in Africa. What do you think are some of the contributing factors to Mineral booming in Africa? Is it value addition? Did you find a better ways of adding value to our resources, or is just an expansion in terms of mining extraction? What is your view when it comes to that?
My personal view on that, before I even touch on that.
We
need to know this. Before we end up 2020, we are already here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what we need to do is that, or to know is that, the prediction say that we are moving with a steady momentum.
Yeah.
The IMF see Namibia growth around 3.75 to 3.8% in 2026.
Yeah.
That the, according to the prediction.
Yeah.
And the Bank of Namibia projected about 3.9 in 2026. A stable outlook that give confidence to households and investors alike. And one of the things that we also need to look to is which are covering what is fine. And it spent about now which our office fund is spent about 160 million Namibian dollar, which is good.
Yeah.
A saving pool that protects us from price swing and build wealth for future. Across mineral, we have like here in Namibia, we have around 116 projects.
Okay.
At different stage. In uranium, diamond, copper, gold, lithium, and rare earth, finding job contracts and new skills for our people. So, coming to your question, You said, is it extraction or value addition, okay, that drive those things?
Mm.
Honestly speaking, it is both.
Mm-hmm.
In the short term,
mm-hmm.
new exploration and extraction are meeting global demand for uranium. If I'm not mistaken, I think we are second in the entire world.
Yeah.
In terms of uranium.
Yeah.
Copper, it's a miner that is being used everywhere, even in the major, the electricity that we are using is using copper.
Mm-hmm.
Lithium, the one that are providing batteries to us.
Mm.
Those are, and late earth miners that are being used in electrical vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Namibia, we have Loting, Namdeb, yeah.
Mr. Jonas, while you are there, you are in mining research and natural resources. Now, let us come to this aspect of saying we have been growing economically. Now, what proportion of Namibians are benefiting from these minerals? How many Namibians are benefiting from these minerals? And maybe I don't know how to touch a little bit of how much we have owned, but how many of Namibians are benefiting from these minerals? Have we really spoken, have we really added values to our minerals for the past 35 years?
Yeah. Honestly, we are, what I'm seeing in my view.
Yeah.
Yes, most of the people are not directly benefiting.
Yeah.
In some region, like in Northern region, some of them, they are just benefiting by receiving some jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are some visible things that we need to also emphasize, like B2 gold.
Okay.
B2, one of the examples is B2 gold. B2 gold has built a Ombili clinic and Ombili primary school in Chualongo, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
You can correct me on that.
Okay.
They used that and handed it to the Minister of Health. Even though it's not public, I don't know why these things are not being mentioned out.
Okay.
And in the past, we know before Losing turned into when it was Leotindo built NIMT.
Okay.
And most of our people, we are artisans that are in the country, are being trained by NIMS. Those are some of the direct benefits that we are getting.
Okay.
Yes, we are not getting benefit. We are not going to receive benefit, all of us, at the same time. But we are certainly benefiting. That's all I can think about.
Okay, no, thank you for that that explanation. Now, let us look at risks. Because people have hope. Everybody have hope. When I look at, for example, I follow situation in South Sudan. I follow what's happening in Ethiopia. But looking at the current prediction of IMF is to say some of these countries, they also expect to economic growth of double digit. And Ethiopia averaging a robust of 7%. Now. My question has always been to say, how can this expansion in terms of the economy be filled? How can we redistribute or equally distribute resources of the nations to an ordinary person on the ground? I'm not only talking about Namibia, but especially in Africa.
Yeah, it's quite challenging. I know, I do understand all that.
There
are really this that can slow Africa and Namibia if we do not manage them well. Our list is relying too much on low commodity. Because when global price drop, government income and job can fall quickly. Listen, regional reports from the International Monetary Fund and World Bank show that sub-Saharan and Africa is holding steady about 4% growth. Yeah, I do understand on that.
Mm.
One of the like our country need to do, it need to recognize both sides, what they want and what the investor prefer to. Mm-hmm. For example, if my because some of the reason why these countries are not benefiting is because of the truce that are having or conflict that might end up because of the desperation that might came, citizens feel like they are not benefiting, but. For example, on the side of investor, okay, if investors hear something like that the country is going to increase the tax or change the tax in 10 to 15 years, a wise investor, it does not matter whether it's a local investor or a foreign investor will not invest in that area because of those risks. I hope you understand. No one wanted to lose the money, and most of the wealthy people prefer place with a taxi heaven, where they can their investment are not at risk. But as Namibian citizen, what we can do, we can prepare. For example, in the oil that are emerging now. We are seeing things like there are stages, né? There's production stage which is still far. And those there's a different day. So we can train individually. We can train ourselves. So that by the time people will need artisan or whatever, we are ready. We have that those skills. We need to prepare for the skill and ourselves. We don't, we must not have this expectation that the government will come and give us, tell us what to do. Sometimes we need to do research on ourselves and look for the things that we can do to help our country. And we need to love our country. We must not entertain the fear of uncertainty. These are the things that are causing trouble to us. And we must not have this high expectation of other people to come and solve our problem. We can solve our thing. If we are not expecting a second hand, we can clearly solve the situation in our country. Or in other African countries,
While we are there, there's something that I'm always asking economists and statisticians, especially when it's coming to data. Now, before I let you go, I just want your few input about, the NDP 6. We are in 2026. NDP 6 was launched, last year with, good ambitions. So, we speak about 500,000 jobs. We speak about the building of industries and many other areas. Now, I just want your input in terms of data. There is quite ambiguity, especially when it's coming to data on tracking progress. What do you think need to be done in 2026 to make sure that we handle data properly so that we know? If we speak about not only jobs, speak about industries, how much of the progress we have made, especially when it's coming to 2026, because I was looking at the National Planning Commission. I was looking at what the Director General has said, especially when there is no really coherent data that show that we have moved or achieved this in 2025. But looking, what do you think need to be done this year?
On that, what I have seen is that Namibia aim to grow oil production from 0 to 15 million barrels on oil equivalent by 2030, which is a bit far. We are not yet there. This is just encouraging local participation. And like I said earlier, they touched on job and skill. Yes, but what maybe we can, what I think that need to be considered is the, I can say, transparency of data, like, as researchers, we are finding it a bit difficult, like, our data in the country are not really aligning or in agreement. Because sometimes if you compare the data from the Namibia Statistics Agency, the data from the Bank of Namibia, the data from private company, they are not really in agreement and they are scattered. So I think might be there's a need for this company that collect data to come together and electrify some of these alerts. Because sometimes we used to be confused that we don't even know what to give to the investor. Because
okay. Just hold on. Just hold on while we are there. Just hold on for a moment for a break.
Okay.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of
expression. Yes, let's continue.
Okay. Yeah.
We are speaking about data fragmentation and also data not corresponding, especially when it's coming to governmental data. So we're speaking about private sector, Namibia Statistics Agency and the banks, data not corresponding. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, sometimes when you look at those data, this one is telling you like 3%, the other one is telling you 4%. I think there's a need for coordination on this thing sometimes to rectify this, because sometimes we used to be confused. I don't even know what to tell my investor sometimes or my client. I think to achieve, and another thing, okay, might be to achieve oil and gas target set out in NDP 6.
Yeah.
I think maybe Namibia must first turn discovery into production for us to come up with the promise that we are saying. We are still in exploration, and our situation is a bit challenging, honestly speaking. Like the on the side of Venus, this well, think about it is 700 kilometers from Moses Bay, meaning that's a 2 day travel to go there. Not that far. Is in the complexity of deep water again on that area. On that, I'm not pessimistic about it.
Yeah.
We must maybe focus on things that like this project in Kunene region more. Because in Kunene region, there's a lot of projects that can enable our country or uplift the economy.
Yeah. Now, apart from these Benga industries, what else can we do? Because we are hungry. I don't want to say we don't have really anything to eat, but you're looking at the numbers, you're looking at the majority of our young people, we do not have really opportunities. Can we just look at oil and gas? Can we just look at green hydrogen? Can we just look at that? Or there are other avenues that we should look at? You are a researcher. I want to get this information, particularly at the beginning of this year. What other areas do we need to look at before you look at being an industry? Because everybody out now is saying, oil is coming. We are going to be rich people. We are going to be like guys in United Arab Emirates and Qatar, wearing white clothes and all those things, driving Lamborghini as taxis. But what other things that we are going to do to complement on what is coming, because it's not coming now or tomorrow.
One of the things what I'm suggesting is that we need to accommodate our talented people, especially in sport. We are not really looking into it, but we have quite a lot of talented people. And I used to hear our people complaining more about, it's not bad what they are doing. Yeah, they are showing their frustration, yes. But what I'm urging is that no one will use our talented people from other countries. Even if we might get one, first they have to be groomed in this country. Maybe our business alike, I think they must just come together and start building up soccer field stadium, okay? And come up with some team, okay? Most of the teams that we support in this world, like the soccer team in England, we have our talented guy, Mr. Salulile, is playing in South Africa. Mamelodi. You know, Mamelodi is owned by Mr. Patrice Motsepe. It's not owned by the state. We must stop this thing of expecting the state to come up with sport and helping us. Our business people can come up with these things and start it. Coming together, they must not do it individually. If you look at Mamelodi being co-owned by Mr. Patrice Motsepe and Mr. Johan Lupe, those are the investors who were invested on those. I think that's the same thing that we can do. We can do the same. And one of the other things that we need, yes, we have this economic inequality in the country. But what I can tell our people is that those who have must know that the hungry don't sleep. I'm not the first person to say this. I heard it from someone. It's not my view. Yes, there's this saying that hungry people, that they don't sleep.
They don't what?
They don't sleep because they are hungry.
Okay, yeah.
They will resort to the things like stealing and other things. Unless in the country. And those who have will not also sleep because they will keep eyes on the food and the things they are seeing that they are having.
So we are all going to be awake.
Yeah, we are all going to be awake. So we need to balance this situation by not ignoring those who are crying or who are complaining. We must also listen to their complaints.
Yeah.
And give them motive. So that they give them hope. But don't just give them hope because their hope does not take away hunger. Those are the things that we can look at.
Yeah. Bafra Jonas, maybe just your final input, especially looking at 2026, because you know, you find really, and my concern, not to say I am not concerned with elders, you find really young people, some have tied to 2025, things did not work out, some started a business collapsed, some went to university, things did not pay out, some, started working, things did not go out, some applied for a job maybe since 2020, but things did not go out. But maybe from you as an economic researcher, what are you telling our young people, especially going to 2026? What are you telling them, especially looking at Namibia? Say Namibia is quite a beautiful country with resources, but we are not yet closer to there. But what is your message to the Namibia young people, especially those who have still energy and can be able to do work?
To the fellow graduate, I'm a fake graduate and I'm here in this as an independent researcher. I feel that pressure is not that easy. But what I can tell people is that we must not entertain this fear and pressure that we have we are getting into. So we must solution singer. We must focus on the solution, what we can do. Let us feed that burning desire to solve that problem. Yes, things will not work out every time. And like in the, you know, people want this equality. It will not be solved in 1 hour or in 1 month or 1 year.
Mm.
The improvement will take years. It will come step by step. Things will come out. And one of the things that I can suggest to our youth.
Mm.
Yeah, I see most of us, we are growing bitter and start criticizing leader, insult some of us, we are even resort to insulting them.
Mm.
What we need to know is that we are not going to be youth forever. One day we are going to become elders.
Mm-hmm.
And a criticism sometimes is like a homing pigeon.
Mm.
Even if it go for a month or a year, one day it will come back home.
Mm-hmm.
The criticism that and the bad words that we are expressing now to those leaders, one day will find out, will hound us back. It will come out if we keep on doing. So let us focus on the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Let us knock on those doors. We will, the solutions are there. People will, you will just find someone who is in need of your skill.
Okay.
And to the elders too, they must not be ignorant too. They must listen to the people too. They must take their views seriously. Because, okay, you are getting older.
Mm.
And those people are the ones that are going to take care of you.
Yeah.
The young ones.
Yeah.
If you mistreat them right now, when they come at your, by the time they come at your seat, might you are not there, they will start doing the same thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid that. Avoid, let us figure and put the love of our country, in front. Let us be patriotic about our country, okay? Let us love our country. No one will come from other country to come and, solve our problem. We are the only problem solver for our problem. We know what we need. Other people from abroad, they don't know what we need.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones that know what we need. We come together, find the solution. That's all I can say.
Yes, Prophet Jonas, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your input. And thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving me this chance.
All right, cool. Yes, that is Epaphras Jonas. Epaphras Jonas is an economic researcher in the area of mining, and he's indicating to us to say the poor don't sleep, and the rich don't sleep too, especially in the highest unequal society. And in that aspect, for us to prevent this thing of all of us to be awake, we need to give each other opportunity. And also upgrade our talent. We have 3 minutes. Let's look at the caller and move forward. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Shombe. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We thank God for this another morning.
Yes.
Yes.
Two minutes.
Yeah, I think 1 minute can be now.
Okay.
Just to relate your morning story.
Mm.
And to take accountability for ourselves, and not just to become so much victim, and start blaming others. It's the same, I think, language that Jonas is encouraging us to. That we shouldn't just be blaming. We should also take some action.
Yeah.
And then be read.
Yeah.
Or be motivated.
Yeah.
But I think to cry victim all the time, we make ourselves a victim. We imprison ourselves, our mind.
Mm.
And that will also paralyze our energy, our focus and everything.
Mm.
I think there's also a need for us to really organize ourselves.
Yeah.
And now seek for assistance, mentorship where it's needed. I think that will take us out. So I think that is all I wanted to say.
Yes.
Maybe as we begin the year, let's also re-examine ourselves and put ourselves in the focus.
Yes, thank you very much.
Welcome, sir.
All right.
Thank you. You know, being a victim is not a problem. But being a victim every day, it's a problem. Number one, there are things maybe that I tolerate. The other thing, there are also things that I maybe do not want to do. I expect people to do everything for me. That is being a victim. And can also affect you because you always find somebody to blame. But you find yourself, you're already 8 years old, and you are still saying, no, the system is the system. But realizing to say you are also the system. So that's why, like Jonas have said, to say, yes, you are not going to be young forever. You have this energy, but let us also do something. As long as you are waking up, you can be an economic mover. Others, they are making money by all means, legally and necessary. And others are complaining. Others are on social media, but others are at an open market. Others are on social media posting their twerking, while others are selling their products. And that is differentiating people. Others are on social media insulting each other, but others are looking for opportunities and also sharing opportunities too. But it's up to you to say, what have you done in 2026? Because like I'm always indicating, by the time you wake up, we are already in December 2026, and the time is flying, and expecting somebody to do something for us is a good thing. But am I meeting these people also halfway when it comes to development? So this will bring us to the end of our conversation. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.